KBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor. Francis Rose of FedGov Today, the podcast twice a week, and the TV show premiering April 30th, 10:30 in the morning, Channel 7, in the District of Columbia and its environs, to speak to the federal government, people who work with it, people who have retired from it, people who are contractors with it, and commanders, men and women in uniform. We go now to something really cool. The U.S. National Ice Center, which is headquartered, I learned from Francis, at Suitland, Maryland, outside the district. But its responsibilities are the Arctic and the Antarctic. And Francis, at the recent gathering, very excited gathering, of the Sea, Air, and Space Convention 2023, spoke with Commander Casey Gaughan, commanding the National Ice Center, which sounds like a really cool job. Francis, a very good evening to you. The National Ice Center, you provide a document to me, which is White House stationery, the National Strategy for the Arctic Region. But you asked Commander Gaughan his mission. How did he describe it to you? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. The mission of the National Ice Center, as he described it, is to give the Coast Guard, the United States Navy, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and any other part of the federal government that needs information about the regions of the world that you just described, that information. It's a unique organization in that those three organizations all contribute to it. It's not wholly owned or it's not a part of just the Navy, just the Coast Guard, or just NOAA. They all collaborate on providing resources and providing personnel and so on to the National Ice Center. And so that's the gig. They're providing information about a part of the world that has become more and more in demand. Access to it has become more and more in demand, and information about it has come more and more in demand, not just among those services, but in the intelligence community and in other parts of the federal government, John.
In your conversation with the commander, you asked him, what tools do you have to do your mission? He was engaged by that. What are they, Francis?
Well, the tools that they have are technology tools. They have people tools, and they have ships in the water that are providing them the ability to get into the parts of the world that they need to get into. But one of the challenges that you and I have talked about regarding the ships is that the Coast Guard hosts the icebreaker fleet for the United States. Right now, that icebreaker fleet is one. And that fleet, I read today, the ship, the Polar Star, the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star, is headed now, after just concluding its annual mission in Antarctica, it's headed to its the third phase of its five-year recapitalization refurbishment program, because the United States doesn't have another one, and it needs that one to continue in the best condition possible. That cutter was commissioned in 1976 and is already, I think, 7 years over its life cycle. So there are two others in construction, but right now that's the only one in the water. And so the Guard is in the process of putting that one together to ready it for its mission again this coming fall.
The Arctic is changing profoundly. The Russians have been making claims, very large claims, about the bottom of the Arctic Sea, but the lanes are opening. So the National Ice Arctic Strategy includes security. I mentioned the Russians, who are training military as well as commercial aspects of the Arctic, climate change and environmental protection. And let's focus on that, because the commander says he has a team that watches the ice. How do they watch it?
Well, they watch it for the size. They watch it for how the formations are changing. Mostly melting is what they're looking at, because, as you said, the lanes are opening, and that's because the temperature is changing. They're very careful not to get into debates and discussions about climate change or the reasons for it. They are just providing data, and they're providing pictures of what they're seeing. And what they're seeing is that, as you alluded to earlier, the lanes are opening up. It's easier to access. The access is longer than it's been before. And that's really what they're up there to find out. That's what they're measuring, is what is the accessibility, and what does that mean then for the military services of the United States, potentially the military services of other countries. And what does that mean for example, merchant vessels that want to carry cargo through that part of the world?
Yes, I note from the National Ice Center, the website is very explanatory heavy. Great Lakes reaches maximum ice coverage for 2023 season. Iceberg A80D has calved from iceberg in the Weddell Sea, that's Antarctica, and then other icebergs calving, and then they pay a great deal of attention to the ice, depending on the time of year, in the Arctic. And they use something called a synthetic aperture radar, which I think can see through clouds. Is that it? Do I remember correctly?
Yeah, it can see it. Some of the technology that these organizations have, and the National Ice Center is one, are really incredible. You know, we've talked on this program a number of times about some of the ways the federal government is behind the times on technology. And then you come across organizations like the National Ice Center that are really just doing amazing things, that have these things that can see and measure to the most minute degrees from space and so on. Some of the technologies that are available, really incredible, John.
The mission, however, is comprehensive right now because we're not only behind, Francis, you mentioned, we don't have icebreakers. The Soviets have at least, excuse me, the Russians, I'm a 20th century child. The Russians have at least one nuclear-powered icebreaker. I believe the Chinese are claiming to be an Arctic nation, which is kind of a stretch, but okay, fine. And Antarctica is an unknown to me right now, but I believe that those calvings are threats. So what does the commander need? Does he need people? Does he need recruiting? Does he need ships? Did he say his list, you know, give him an unlimited budget? What does he need?
Yeah, the all of the military personnel that I spoke to at Sea Air Space this year are really particular about when you ask what they need, because they don't want to get out in front of the higher up leaders of the services. Each of the services has a wish list. And if your thing isn't on the wish list, then it's regarded as de rigueur to talk about it, to get out in front of the service more broadly. But the sense that I took away, my thought after the conversation with Commander Gahn, is they need more equipment. I'm sure they want more sensors to be able to detect what's going on up there. And broadly, the theme that all of the military leaders at this conference talked about was presence. And presence doesn't always mean people. Sometimes it means equipment. Sometimes, in some cases, it's now uncrewed equipment, unmanned equipment. Different organizations use different terms. But more things, whatever they're using to do their jobs, more is usually what's required in when it comes to something like ICE or any of the other parts of the
country. Did he mention recruiting, Francis? We have about a minute because we've talked about the competition for IT and the whole of the government. Is that a challenge for the commander? He is in uniform.
Yeah, it's a challenge for every command, every person that I talk to, and in particular, it's not just IT, it's science personnel, because the universities, colleges are not making the kinds of science talent that they used to or that the military needs. And just like we've talked about IT talent, that science talent gets soaked up by private sector companies that can offer a lot more in pay and benefits than the federal government can. The federal government really has to sell its mission to attract that talent, John.
Francis Rose, FedGov Today is the website where you can find the podcast, his conversation with Commander Casey Gahn of the National Ice Center. FedGov Today is also a TV show on Channel 7 in the Washington area on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., premiering on April 30th. Very much looking forward to it. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.